Want to make a difference in your community but not sure how? Go to GoFundMe.com right now and start a GoFundMe. Seriously. Your next fundraiser doesn't have to start in a school parking lot or a church basement. You can start a GoFundMe today in just minutes. Fundraise for yourself, a friend, or family member, or an organization. All that matters is that you care about them. GoFundMe is the trusted place to fundraise for what you care about. With no pressure to hit your fundraising goal, but tons of tools to help you reach it, you can confidently start fundraising right now. Whether it's creative, local, or critical, your cause matters. And there's a reason why GoFundMe is backed by millions and chosen by fundraisers everywhere. It works, and it matters. GoFundMe helps you make a real difference. Start your GoFundMe today at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com. GoFundMe.com. This is a commercial message brought to you by GoFundMe.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast13. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast13. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, Shaggy has just joined us. He finally put his pants on, so we're ready to go. It's official when the pants come on. So a lot to talk about. We're recording on a snowy Sunday afternoon, which is a rarity.
Speak for yourself.
The professor just came in from shoveling. He's all limbered up. He's got his, all set, ready to go. So, Edward.
Yes.
Let's get into one watch. Everybody knows the rules. We love this section.
Hey there, podcast fans. Are you ready to show off your love for the 1973 podcast? We've got over 20 different designs of t-shirts and hoodies that captures the essence of classic stuff. Whether you're a fan of the show or just love that retro feel, we've got something for everyone. From bold prints to subtle nods to your favorite personalities, each piece is made with top-notch quality. And that time of style that you crave, perfect for lounging at home or making a statement out and about. And don't wait, our collection is flying off the shelf. The best thing you can say, don't be cheap, buy a shirt. Visit us now at bonfire.com and grab your favorites before they're gone. And then check us out at the 1973 Podcast t-shirt store and just click the link below on YouTube. Thank you. Good day.
So we had a bat out of order last week. It was Shaggy's pick, so I had to step in and make my pick and my pick was the movie Airheads. I hadn't seen it in a while. It was definitely a favorite back in the day, and I'll give my review of it first. I went back and watched it. I still enjoyed it. It was still enjoyable for me to watch. It was no Ford Fairlane. There was definitely some parts to it that, dated or whatever, but still fun movie. Didn't seem too hokey. I think at the time, pretty good cast, Adam Sandler, Brendan Fraser, probably at one of the heights of his career back then before he had his resurgence again. Pretty good. A couple of appearances by, stars of the time, Lemmy, a couple other, people that were kind of in that Hollywood mix at the time. I thought it was great. Still holds up. I wouldn't say great, like Animal House great, but the rating I'll give it for for the time and everything kind of thrown in, 7.7 for me. We'll go Ed, you're up.
I love this movie, man. It's just a fun movie. It basically would kind of almost incorporate kind of like a Saturday night skit into something that they put into a movie. I mean, it's just funny. I mean, it just definitely shows you kind of how the radio business and the music business kind of interacted back in the 90s. And before then, I just entertaining movie. Just it just flows. It's funny. Just kind of has kind of some of that slapstick kind of humor to it as well. I mean, it shows like Chris Farley in there. Just some of his facial expressions and that type of thing. One of my favorite lines, is quotables. It kind of looks like you're exceeding the maximum weight capacity of that belt. I mean, that's a classic. Tom, they go, they bring back the debate of, which Van Halen is better with Dave or with Sammy. And, they call him out. The executives were, hey, no, these guys are cops, because they like Sammy better. They talk about Lemmy, the opening scene with White Zombie. It's just a fun movie. I'd have to say, definitely, I'll agree with you, Andy. Definitely not a Animal House by any means imagination, but I'll give it a seven, solid, I'd say 7.2.
All right, Professor, you're up. Airheads.
I like this movie. It's not going to be one of the ones. It's not going to ever win an Oscar or anything, but it made me laugh. I thought Chris Farley stole almost every scene he was in. He was hilarious in it. And I always like to find like a hidden fact about the movie and stuff when we do these. And I found out that this movie was filmed in Nakatomi Plaza. It was filmed with the Die Hard building. So I thought that was pretty cool. I'm not going to go quite as high as you guys. I went with a 6.8.
All right, Phantom, Airheads.
I gotta say, I thought it held up. I thought it was same as you. I hadn't seen it in a long time. Very good. I do remember that when it came out in the theater, it like totally bombed. I don't think the thing was in the theater for longer than a month. Who's sneaky good in that too is Steve Buscemi.
Oh,
He's
yeah.
out, he's like a great character actor. Like everything that he's in, I something about him. He's always like kind of one of my favorites. And the part when he's in the jail and he's doing the thrust with the guitar and he looks up and he sees all the prisoners looking at him, hilarious. But overall, I'd have to go. I'll go 7.5. I know, so like you said, just good weekend movie. Just throw that in. It's never gonna do you wrong.
Yeah, before we get to Brad, just to add to that, I think it's one of those movies that if you like music and you're a fan of like, rock music at the time, it holds up. I mean, we'll watch some stuff and it doesn't really hold up anymore, but this one does. I mean, if you were in that age bracket at the time and you were right, it did bomb in the movies, but decent soundtrack, pop-up cameos here and there. White Zombie pops up in the club when they're looking for Brendan Fraser's girlfriend. Just cool things like that at the time, for the music people.
I actually saw a thing that the guy that wrote it kind of got the whole idea from Dog Day Afternoon with Al Pacino.
Cool concept. I mean, kind of in the
Just
music
sort of like
kind of.
what like a comedic version.
Yeah, like when Buscemi comes out and he's doing the Attica thing and all
Yeah,
that
yeah,
stuff.
yeah,
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 yeah.
yeah.
I think Adam Sandler is kind of funny in that too, in kind of a way.
Well, the thing that's funny is that pretty much watch the Adam Sandler movies.
Yeah.
I know he did some like little shit movies before that, but this I think it was like the first one that it was like he was kind of notable coming from SNL, and then after that, trajectory for him was through the roof.
Sorry, Bradford. You're up.
Yeah, I agree with what y'all said. I mean, this movie was a flopped in theaters. It flopped critically, by all accounts. It flopped. And it's kind of now turned into like a cult classic for all the reasons you guys have talked about. It's a great inside look at the record business. It's a different angle. It's a Saturday Night Live skit put when they used to take a skit ish and make a movie out of it. It's got a great cast. Kramer's in it, Ernie Hudson, Joe Mantegna, Chris Farley. These were like peak 90s guys. They made great films back then. What was the runtime on this? Was it like 90 minutes?
A little over, like in between, like
It was 1 hour 32.
yeah.
Yeah. So peak runtime. You guys know I'm a fan of the 90-minute runtime. If you look at the top three in the cast though, between Buscemi, Brendan Fraser, and Adam Sandler, and at 1994, if you were like, all right, one of these dudes is gonna disappear and turn into a recluse and gain a shit ton of weight and have a really sad, dopey comeback story in the 2020s, how many of y'all would have picked Brendan Fraser? in the 90s, y'all forget Brendan Fraser was the it Hollywood guy. He was in everything. He was in every movie, Monkey Bone, The Mummies, all the Mummy trilogy movies. He was in every damn movie. Encino Man, you know, he was in all of it.
George of the Jungle.
George of the Jungle, classic. So for him to fall off after this.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast13. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast13. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
Man, it's kind of heartbreaking, but great movie. I like it. It's a cult classic. It's always one I would recommend to people if they haven't seen it. Like, oh, okay, yeah, you have to watch this at least once. So I'll give it a 6-7.
Shaggy, you've got to follow that, Shaggy.
Well, first off, I'm going to apologize. I had no idea what the movie was about 2 hours ago.
Jesus Christ.
What? And I was outside shoveling, so I didn't get a chance to watch it either. We got snow up here. So I'm going to abstain from my vote. Because I don't remember. I watched it like 30 years ago. I don't remember anything besides M. Sandler and Brendan Fraser being in it.
Well, you know, you got no score.
I honestly don't remember anything about the movie. I really don't.
All right. So, Professor, hit us up with the weekly score.
7.1.
That's not bad. Okay. 7.1, that's decent. I think anything over a 7 is a win, right? Yeah. Something that you like.
Yeah, IMDb is at a 6.2, so we're a little off, but not by much.
Yeah, I think we're getting a age demographic rating on this one.
Yeah.
But if you, Brad, as a movie buff, if you had to put like from a 5, a 6, a 7, 8 on, how would you categorize that? Like for the Gen X movie perspective, how would you put that? Would like a must buy? Is that like 8 and above?
A must buy or a must watch? Because I mean, well, I own a lot of movies.
A must watch is different than a must buy. Well, a must watch, like I would say, like a 7 to an 8. Anything above a 7 is a must watch. And then
if we're rating anything a 7 to 8, then our 100 subscribers need, if they haven't seen a movie, need to go find a movie and watch it.
Watch it this weekend.
Well, yeah. if you were going back to like, you know, a movie collection, what rating goes in your movie collection? 8 and above?
Oh, I would say 8.5 and above I would buy. Like, I could definitely see me back when we were buying DVDs or even getting this on bootleg and just stashing it. Just so I can go back just to know I have it. Because I had a hard time finding this one to even watch. But I'm pretty sure if I dig out my DVDs out the garage and out from underneath the cabinet and the TV stand, I'm 90% sure I have it. It's in there somewhere.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I mean, that's always... I want to kind of set a baseline for what we try to do. Like,
yeah,
the Phantom would agree because he was a movie buff for consuming, buying DVDs. And VHS. So I'm just saying, what's the jump off point? Like, for, you know, our perspective, 7 and up is a must watch. And then 8.5 and up is an own, even though I own Airheads. I'm like Brad, somewhere deep in the eaves in a tote somewhere is Airheads. So
yeah, agree. Such a different environment back then too, because if you didn't buy it, you weren't really in. You weren't watching it. So I think we were quicker to purchase stuff now. Where if we were going to buy something now, it would have to blow me away to actually buy it.
Yeah, yeah. So I mean, just the perspective on what we're trying to sell. So, Shaggy.
Yes, sir.
Movie of the week. What's your pick?
All right, on Netflix, so we can watch it. Not a deep dive. It actually wasn't a bad movie. I liked it. It's Eddie Murphy's movie. Dolomite Is My Name.
Okay. All right. All right.
Would you like to say that again?
What?
What's the name of it again?
Dolomite Is My Name.
Is it? I thought your name was Mike.
Oh, nice dad joke. That was cute.
Hey,
Six, seven.
Now, Shaggy, have you seen this movie?
I have
Okay.
already.
Without being a spoiler, is
Yes.
it a remake of the original or is it a.
No, it's the story of Dolomite, like how he was a comedian. I forgot what his name was. Rudy. I'll have to look up what his name was. But basically, how he became this character with his comedy routine and how he f made the his he made the movie. He funded the movie and everything, and that whole story about him basically fixing his career. He was like a crappy comedian, then he found this character and just took off in the 70s.
So, for people that don't know, Shaft was the
Right.
original takeoff of what became the blaxploitation movies, and then everything that came from it was Dolomite,
Dolomite's
Superman.
like the Naked Gun version.
Yeah, okay, yeah. So yeah, if it's
Do
almost
one
like
little
a.
thing, do not watch this with children. There is some swearing.
Okay.
There are some boobies. Right up
Oh, okay. All right.
our alley.
We're already up to a 7.5.
All right. Exactly. I'm
Yeah.
checking the boxes.
All
You
right.
do see
So
Eddie Murphy's butt cheeks at one point, but other than that.
that brings it back
6.5.
to 4.5 now.
4.5.
Just dropped the movie.
right. Dolomite Is My Name for homework, fellas. So let's segue away from one watch, everybody knows the rules. Two, one Saturday night's main event, everybody knows the rules. Bradford, thoughts on what everybody is talking about on social media, John Cena's last match. You have the floor.
So I mean, the whole night, I thought this was probably one of the better Saturday night main events they've done. First of all, just with the stars in attendance, the matches were great. I love that SmackDown and Saturday Night Main Event both featured a lot of NXT talent coming up. I've been telling y'all for a while, if you're not watching NXT, you're missing out on the better of the three brands in WWE right now. They're Iron Survivor PLE, which was aired, I guess, just like on regular like TV or Peacock or something last Saturday, blew away Survivor Series slash War Games. It 10 times better of a PLE. So if you haven't watched that, go back and watch it. But so the John Cena match, I just feel, well, let's talk about the Givens. We knew he was going to lose because that's tradition. We knew he was going to put somebody over. Given that, with a year build up to this match, doing a whole tournament to determine the final opponent, I kind of side with the fans in the comments. I don't think Gunther should have been the last guy. I don't think Gunther needed to be put over. Dude's 38, 40 something years old, been in the biz for a while. I think they could have found somebody else to put over. Gunther doesn't need to put over. Triple H has done a pretty good job of shoving him down our throats, making us like him whether we want to or not. I also think they relied too heavily on John Cena's acting ability, and they tried to make it too poetic with the whole getting choked out, and then he smiles and gently taps for the to take the L. I would have much rather seen like a Bron Breakker or some other young up and coming dude just go in there and just really like hammer Cena for 30 minutes, you know? The theatrics of it, the emotional tugs in my heartstrings, where it was like, oh, Cena smiled and tapped. It's sad, but it was a flat ending. Then he gets up and he gives the speech. He takes off the boots and it's all emotional. And the whole roster comes out and everybody's chanting and tapping on the ring. And for some reason, Punk and Cody get in and put the titles on him. And he gets the crowd hype one last time. And I don't know. You go watch AEW and what they did for Sting's final match on a PLE. And it was incredibly done. And, you know, because it's on a PLE, there's no time limit. They just let it run. I feel like with Cena's match, and Lucas and his friend Cannon watched it with me last night. And Lucas came in to tell me this. He wanted me to share his opinion. They both said, like, man, we wish it would have been on a PLE. It would have been more, it could have been done better, could have been more.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast13. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast13. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
You know, and they're 9 and 10 years old. So, but I just feel like for a year build up, I think we could have had more for that match. You know, I'm not mad at it. I'm kind of indifferent, but I wasn't 100% pleased with a year's worth of shenanigans just to get here. But I do feel like this year retirement tour has held WWE by the balls for the last year. They've had to incorporate Cena into every storyline and PLE along the way. And now that he's finally retired and, you know, and in the process, WWE has gone ice cold. I think now they can start to heat up and get ready for WrestleMania, even though the Royal Rumble's in Saudi Arabia, and that's kind of gay, but you know, that's my thoughts, man. I don't know. I'm 50-50 on it.
All right.
I didn't hate it. I didn't love it.
Phantom, you have the floor.
I got to say, when I was, my instant reaction to it was, he should have put him to sleep. Like, he should have,
yeah.
I'm like, the man's supposedly like a trained actor. Like, if that guy somehow, some way could have got some tears going, kind of like the Ric Flair thing with Ric Flair and Shawn Michaels, get some tears going and then just go out.
Yep.
I think that might have been a better way to go, but
yeah,
business-wise, I think they wanted the tap finish just because if they're going to turn, I think there's like a, going to be like a new narrative. If you notice, like Michael Cole's at the end when he's doing the call, and I think it was like very intentional, was like pro wrestling just destroyed sports entertainment. So this might be the turn that we're waiting for, and that maybe they're going to try to start going the other way. I don't know if that's just me reading too much into it, but that's my kind of my takeaway. And if you look forward, now you've got, you know, a lot of guys coming up to retire. Rey Mysterio is going to disappear. Maybe we'll have him destroy him. Maybe we'll have him do AJ Styles. He's going to go too. You got, I mean, Roman's a long way from going anywhere, but you got Randy Orton. So if he's going to be their new top guy, and just the fact that they went with a tap finish and everybody's pissed off and everybody's talking about it means they did exactly what they meant out to do, because it's all about the reaction, and the reaction is golden. Whether it's they could take this and turn around and make Triple H turn into like Vince. Now maybe he's going to be the bad promoter. There's a lot of different ways they could go with this. So I actually think they kind of killed it, even though everybody's disappointed with the way that it ended.
Bro, nuclear heat on Gunther. Like, man is getting real life death threats. Like, they could, like, so that part I love. Like, Gunther had to be evacuated out of the arena before the fans started throwing shit. That part I loved.
Is Ed, you want to add? You want to add to the group?
Nope, sorry. Just watching the game, sorry.
It just hit a parlay on DraftKings.
I don't gamble.
He's watching the other sports entertainment.
Oh, Pornhub?
No.
Yeah. What have we always talked about the wrestling? It's supposed to be reaction-based, right? So if bring back the pro wrestling. You will know when the pro wrestling is back, when people that haven't watched it, members of this podcast, start watching it more, then you know what's kind of turning that corner. It just, It's based on reactions, like the Phantom said, it always has been. It's about heat. It's about pulling on your emotion. I totally agree with Ryan. I think that the finish, kind of lame. Whether it's Gunther, whether it's not Gunther, where he's the new, like, kind of legend killer. But doesn't that kind of, if he starts retiring these guys, right? And then he's at the point where he's going to get going. Then who beats him to absorb? It's almost like Galactus. He's absorbing all these guys to retire, but who's the guy that's going to eventually, you know, put him out of business? But it's great if that's what they're going to do with him, like old school heel, you know, as Andy's foreign too a little bit, that always gets heat too with people. He seems like the type of guy that just is definitely all about the pro wrestling as a whole. It seems like he's never really kind of had a goofy gimmick at all since they've been pushing him. So if that's what they're going to do with him, I'm all for it. It's just a slow build to when he kind of, you know, retires. But that, don't forget, Jericho's supposed to come back. They've already kind of let that one kind of go. So maybe he'll retire Jericho. Maybe he'll, you know, maybe he'll up. Professor?
Well, I don't know if you guys saw this, but this week, John Cena kind of let it slip in an interview that Brock Lesnar was going to be retiring in 2026. So if they wanted to give Gunther some real heat and build him really up as a legend retirer.
Make him tap.
And John Cena kind of let it slip that SummerSlam is in Minnesota. That's where Brock went to college. So they're kind of insinuating that that's going to be where his last match is. So that right there, if they want to really build Gunther up, I think they could get more heat with him beating Brock Lesnar with just the aura that Brock Lesnar has.
But the thing that you got to like about the Gunther thing is he's a bigger dude. So that gives credibility. He's in the ring with some of these regular sized guys and he's bigger than these guys. So at least he looks like a old school pro wrestler. He's built like it. I mean, they kind of, shamed him a little bit to get thinner. I didn't mind when he was a little bit, bigger. He just looked bigger, right? It adds to his character. I mean, not everybody's, built like they just got off the beach. So, right, Shaggy?
Yeah. Who is Gunther? I have no idea who the fuck this guy is.
Okay, that's good. That's good.
Well, I also heard that everybody's feeling the heat, this whole Jey Uso thing. The crowd turned on him, the fans turned on him. They rode the hot hand till it fizzled out. And the WWE creative kind of feels like they messed up by putting the strap on Jey Uso. And when they took it from Gunther, because Jey beat him clean, and now they're trying to right that wrong. And this was a way they could correct the ship and now make Gunther more of a viable threat going forward. So I like that.
Very cool. Yeah, you got to get that memory eraser out, right? And kind of
now that Jay and Jimmy are reforming the Usos and going after the tag titles, like they're back full circle, man.
Yeah,
you gotta like that. The guys that I was impressed with, that Oba Femi. I don't really get to watch him a lot, so I don't watch a lot of NXT, but he's
Oba Femi, bro.
He's a unit, so they kind of ruined the end of that by having what's name. Come jumping in the ring.
McIntyre,
but whatever. I mean, he's not like he was going to be Cody.
Y'all Oba Femi throws up the Ahmed Johnson vibes to me. I don't know.
Ooh. Oh, man.
Y'all got to start watching NXT. Isla Dragunov, Oba Femi, Sol Ruka. Y'all got to start watching Tuesdays. It is so much better than Monday and Friday night programming. I'm telling you. And I absolutely hate when they get called up to the main rosters, because then they get buried and they get put on some dumbass storyline or some run, or they get injured. Y'all have got to start watching NXT, man. I'm telling you.
Brad,
Javon Evans, next big name in wrestling, bro.
I see you're feeling the Sol Ruka.
Oh, bro.
That's good stuff. Bro.
I just want to make that clear for all the fans at home.
Brad, have you officially moved on from Joe Hendry?
No, I'm still rocking Joe Hendry. His little cameo, Saturday Night Main Event, was incredible with Ron Killens, R-Truth. That was incredible. I love that bit.
So have you turned the page with Tiffy?
No, she's still my girl, but she's not on TV anymore. I don't know where she went.
Oh, Ask Ed, lost maybe to Jade, you can find it on Pornhub.
Yeah, she just disappeared, man. She gone. She gonna come back though. She'll be back.
So just quick before we put a pin in the wrestling talk this week, we had two passings this week. I want to maybe bring Ed in the fold for some talk on this one. Passing Ed, the Hands of Stone, Monos DiPietro, right, Thomas?
Yes.
The Hands of Stone, Ron Garvin. Thoughts on the career of Ronnie Garvin, Ed?
Oh, man, I remember watching him on TBS, you know, on the Superstation 605. I mean, you know, Hands of Stone. I mean, I think he was a solid wrestler back in the day. I always enjoyed him. I didn't think he was quite as exciting on the mic as some of the other guys, but he was quite solid, had some good feuds. And you know, I think he definitely is in that old school kind of like, definitely brought something to the table.
Phantom, Ronnie Garvin.
Not a fan. He did win the world title, though. I'll give him that.
When it was hard to.
Yeah. Garvin Stomp.
Yep.
That was a classic move. Like the bank, do that one on, throw that on your cousin, you know? But no, it's he kind of dropped out of the limelight. He had his little window there in NWA/WCW and kind of. Strong, he had like the strong like Montreal accent too, so he didn't really do too much talking. But yeah, he had his day. He probably had a little 2-year window where he was kind of a top guy.
Yeah, real quick, Ronnie Garvin story. They threw the belt on him at Starrcade '87 because that was the spot that they had slotted for Magnum TA to win it. And when Magnum had, of course, because they booked so far out, when Magnum got hurt, they were looking for somebody else that. You know, could kind of give Ric Flair the time off instead. And they did that whole Ronnie Garvin angle, which I don't think it went over with the fans as big as it did. And I had read an article one time that it was only, he was able to defend that belt officially one time in between the Flair transition, because it was basically just to give Flair a break. And yeah, it was slated for Magnum TA to win that, and then when that whole thing kind of went south. But they gave it to him because he was elder statesman, and it was when the title still meant something pre-1990. And, you know, it was a shock at the time for me, being a hardcore, Jim Crockett guy and watching that religiously. It was definitely when wrestling did shock you more often for the better, the reaction.
They should have put it on Manny Fernandez.
No, Manny Fernandez. That guy was just slated to the Rick Rude, Manny Fernandez tag team with Paul Jones. That Thomas, thoughts on the pass of the Hands of Stone?
He was, I guess, from everything you read about him, he was like a true professional. You didn't hear anything bad about him. I haven't heard anything bad in any of the behind the scenes interviews you hear with the old guys. You don't ever hear anything bad about him. I mean, he wasn't the most exciting wrestler to watch, but back then it was a lot more psychology involved. So he was good at that. I mean, he'll go down in the history. I'm not going to say he's a Hall of Famer, as we want to go back to our old things, but I mean, he was a good pro.
Real quick, just to add to that, Ronnie Garvin is one of those examples of when legitimate tough guys ruled wrestling, right? You did not want that, Ryan. You know how we always talk about when somebody puts their physical hands on you, just like with the grip?
Yep.
You don't want that guy putting his hands on you. Yep.
That's when you know when they do wrestling, they present it the right way. If you saw that guy somewhere, you'd be scared of him if he was like, if he started talking to you and like he was going to kick your ass.
Yep. So, you know, I always have this funny wrestling daffy desire to see guys like that in the ring with somebody that's trying to get cute now with the high flying stuff. And hey, you're going to wait 5 seconds to catch me. No, that's not going to happen. That's not going to work for me, brother, type of thing. just real quick, not too much to add to the other pass. And Mr. Electricity, Steve Regal, claim to fame from our era was the tag team partner with Gorgeous Jimmy Garvin in the AWA. They were the lucky guys to beat the Road Warriors for the AWA tag team titles. Mm-hmm. Steve Regal was one of those guys that in the 70s, he was a Southern territory type guy that was, you know, not really on TV for most of us. He was never a Jim Crockett guy, never really went through Florida or World Class or whatever. So when he hit the AWA, he was the original Steve Regal, not the William Regal that you know of now. So passing on those two guys, we always talk about the people you grew up watching are now in the queue for the drop-offs. And happy birthday, 100 years to Dick Van Dyke. Still kicking. We'll segue away from this week's wrestling for some Thomas. Oh, it's time to get into the other sports realm with your shitty picks.
All righty. 1973 podcast is brought to you by Elite Hockey Company. At Elite Hockey, it's all about the game. Whether you're a seasoned pro, a weekend warrior, or lacing up for the very first time, they've got you covered. From top gear and custom equipment to apparel, live event experiences, and full team support, Elite Hockey is built by hockey players for hockey players. This isn't just a brand, it's a community. A place where players of every level can stay sharp, play hard, and live hockey. So if you want to elevate your game, support a company that supports the hockey world, and join a movement that's growing fast. Check out leethockey.com today and tell them the crew from the 1973 podcast sent you.
All right. Ed brought up some stuff that they want to talk about, some college foosball. You have the floor, sir.
All right. Well, let's start off with the Notre Dame thing. First and foremost, you know, Notre Dame has always had a very storied program. They've always held tight to the never exactly. We don't join a conference. We have conference alliances and stuff like that. Well, funny story, that came in back and bit you this time, didn't it? And guess what? You know, here we are. We're gonna take our ball and go home because we didn't get into the brackets. Well, funny story, you didn't beat anybody. You didn't beat anybody. And the two teams that were brought in before you, they beat you. So you're this taking your ball and going home, that's just crybaby stuff. No need for that in college football. I think they're doing a huge disservice to the program by not going to the bowl games, because the thing about it is just like you get actually 3 weeks of actual extra practice.
Practice.
So because we're talking about practice, you know, and that's a big thing. I mean, that's how you continue to build your program and whatnot. And I just think it just really sets really just such a bad precedent of, you know, I mean, look, if you're 6-7 and you don't believe that you should go to a bowl game, okay, that's different. But, you know, I mean, I just don't agree with it. I think it.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast13. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast13. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
Just really set it, basically just makes it look like I'm taking my ball and going home, or this is my Tonka truck and you can't play with it. Gentlemen, the floor is yours.
They're not the only team that is who canceled their bowl games, though. I think this is a new trend. I don't think the playoff can coexist. I don't think conference championships can coexist with bowl games and the current system of a playoff. I don't think they can. I think the bowl games were always there to make money. That's the only the college football of yesteryear. It was your program went on the Rose Bowl, the Sugar Bowl, one of the big five New Year's Day or New Year's Six bowl games, and that was, you know, credit to your program. That was your championship game. That was your thing. You got the trophy. You got the whatever, and it helped with recruiting and et cetera, et cetera. Then the bowl game era blew up. How many bowl games are there? There's a lot.
There's like 30 of them, right?
You don't even have to have that good of a school record to qualify for a bowl game. Mississippi State qualified for a bowl game after we beat them at the Egg Bowl. You know what I'm saying? And they had a shit season. You don't have to be that good to qualify for a bowl game. So the fact that they're like, hey, we didn't get in a playoff, we're just going to skip our bowl game and we're going to pay the fine and we're just going to focus on next year. And then Baylor did it and two other teams are doing it. I'm not mad at them for it. I think that is the transition we're seeing with NIL playoff college football. I said it in the group chat, college football, nobody gives a shit about your strength of schedule, who you beat or who you lost to. Your record at the end of the season is what matters. That gets you into the playoff. If you're not a winning team, you're not getting in the playoff. Now, is it perfect system? Hell no, because Tulane and James Madison shouldn't even be in it. Just get that out right now. But the playoff is what the playoff is. I think Nick Saban had it right. A lot of these conferences that are going to push their big teams, the Power Five, Ohio State, perfect example, in the Big Ten, they're going to start easy-ass schedules, and they're going to have an easy-ass season. They're going to get cakewalked right into the freaking playoff, and then lose our conference championship game and still get a first-round bye. Make it make sense, right? If we want to get into that, like Alabama lost the conference championship, shouldn't even be in the damn playoff. Three losses, right? So conference championship doesn't mean shit. Bowl games don't mean shit. This is the future of the college football. It's like minor league NFL now. That's all it is. They ruined it.
I think it should just go by the national rankings. The conference stuff shouldn't even matter. You can play a conference Correct. Championship just, you know, to win the championship of your league, which makes sense. But then after that, you just take the 12 best teams. And I mean, granted, the 13 and 14 teams are always going to be pissed off, but all season long, they have the rankings. So why are they just not going by the rankings? There should be never a team that's like, I'm the 25th ranked team and I'm in. That shouldn't even be a thing. And then if you don't make the playoffs, your season's over. Nobody who watches bowl games of shit teams that didn't make the playoffs? I don't give a fuck about watching that, do you? I don't.
Yeah, I do.
I mean, I think their fan bases do. It's something, those smaller schools, I think it's something for them. Kind of like the NIT tournament. Oh, you didn't make the big dance, but go to the NIT tournament. Hey, we're in on something.
College football needs an NIT version of the playoff, yeah, though.
I agree.
Maybe they should do that as a divisional bowls after. So if you don't qualify in, you know, take the best two teams and you throw them in your
maybe another tournament for like one. Yeah,
it's there's got to be some of those guys that just like, you know, football's the violent sport, so like why are you gonna play unnecessary games and risk getting hurt in games that don't mean shit?
Yeah.
I mean, I guess it's no different than if you're on a crap team and you're finishing out your schedule, but there's parts of me sometimes I know it's always been a big thing with Notre Dame not having a conference. They can kind of sustain it without being in a conference. Like, why would they want to pay into being in a conference? I mean, now it matters because of the playoffs and stuff. But I don't know. I think they kind of look at it a little bit rogue. The rebel in them is like, no, we're not going to conform to what you want to do. We're bigger than that. But
that's true. They do have a much bigger brand.
When they try and it ends up, you know, the league has all the power. So if you want to go against the league and they get a chance to screw you, they're going to screw you. And now you got to deal with it.
Yep.
Did you want to talk anything about the NFL, Ed?
Well, I was going to just talk about the Sherrone Morris situation at Michigan.
Don't bang crazy bitches.
Stay away from them snow bunnies.
I'll give that one to Tommy.
Well, the thing that the school comes out looking worse than anything because they've supposedly knew about it like a year ago and they supposedly investigated it and let it go under. I don't know if they didn't find anything or what, but I mean, it's kind of silly. Andy, you're on the bottom of my screen, so I don't know you. I don't see who you're.
He's pointing at Ryan.
That's all right.
Pointing at you on mine.
That's all right. The format will work itself out.
I'm mine. Pointing at Ryan.
Hell is old as time when a boss man bangs the young hot blonde staffer. I mean, is this even news? It became news when he like showed up at the house threatening to kill himself and stuff
with
like that.
With a butter knife.
Yeah, was that what it was? A butter knife? And yeah, then it became a story. But like, Come on.
How about the story I heard about him, like, halftime of the Ohio State game, like, DMing a freaking OnlyFans star?
Yeah. If y'all think that's bad, go look at what Lane Kiffin did at Ole Miss.
Oh, yeah, that's true. That's
I
true.
Mean, come on.
I think it was where he screwed himself is that he gave her a job that was double the pay. Yeah. That's where he went wrong.
And nobody blinked an eye about it. Like, oh, okay, yeah.
Now, here's the thing. If they had beat Ohio State, it would probably be a non-subject.
Yeah. He probably just, I wonder if they'd make him just kind of like walk away in his own, like, oh, I'm going to do other endeavors and stuff.
This shit just reminds me of, like, all the stories I heard in the military of, like, those E7s, those crusty master sergeants, and, like, the new hot chick comes in straight out of basic, and they risk their whole family and kid for, you know, a piece of ass, and they lose their stripe and everything for it. Like, tell as old as time, man. Like, yeah, this –
seriously.
Snow now, bunnies Michigan, are the – what's that? Ahead, I said snow bunnies are, like, the number one killer of marriages worldwide, bro.
Now, if Michigan really wanted to stick it to Ohio State after they lost the game this year, if you want to win me over, go get Urban Meyer. Really stick the knife in Ohio State and twist it. Throw the money at Urban Meyer.
Let he him ain't get coming. He announced it. He still calls it we. We do this. I'm like, you haven't coached here in how many years? What is this we shit?
I want Gruden.
Yeah. I want Gruden too.
Never
yeah. Gruden.
Well, who the hell wants Brad's to take that job right now? Bunny. Who even wants that job?
No, I have a snow bunny. I married my snow bunny.
I got a lot of snow bunnies outside right now if somebody wants to come help with a shovel.
Damn, my kid's outside playing in shorts and a t-shirt right now.
Well, so do we. It's just snowing out.
We have a crisp fall, springuary day outside. It's, if it wasn't so windy, it'd be perfect.
Are you completed the football talk for this week?
I have completed the Bobby Boucher sponsored version of foosball. you know, if this goes, if we talk any more about football, I think Andy's going to have to go flip the alligators on the stove.
Mm-hmm. Phantom, thoughts on the trades this week for the NHL?
Yeah, man. Wow. That Stuart Skinner for Raw. Tristan Jarry, that blows my mind. That's the guy? That's who's solving the problem? I think I'd rather have – I think Skinner's better than him. I know he's having a kind of a somewhat decent season, but all the guys in the league, like, I don't know. That's just – that's my boy Bowman screwed up the Blackhawks, and now he's with Edmonton, and they're turning wheels. That's not the move.
Two things about that were kind of odd to me is it, I guess the story within a story is we'll see how good of a goalie Skinner is with a fresh, you know, Pittsburgh team in front of him. We'll see how that kind of goes. The other thing was, I don't know if it was clickbait or what, but McDavid not happy with it, said he had, you know, been angry with the management after it kind of went live that they traded him. You're going to die on that sword for, you know, Stuart Skinner or what there, yeah. Phantom?
I mean, before I turn it over to our resident goalie up there, I mean, you can put all the blame on him that you want. They made it to two straight Stanley Cups with the guy. So, I mean, he won you 15 out of the games that you needed to win the Magic 16. So, if, just by chance, if they had won one of those game sevens, is he off the hook? I kind of feel like he's a scapegoat for their lack of depth.
Is he Scott Norwood?
Jesus, yeah. I don't know.
Yeah. Guy's been solid.
Neither of them are back to come.
Go ahead, Shaggy.
I was gonna say, like Scott Norwood, he was solid all year, and then one bad kick, and he's a friggin' piece of shit all of a sudden.
Yeah, four straight Super Bowls, though. That's what.
Yeah.
It's an age old thing. The goalie always gets blamed. Always the first one to get blamed.
Oh, here we go with the goalie. The constant cross and become a martyr.
Neither one of them about being a goalie.
No, I'm just saying that. Who's the first person that gets blamed? It's the goalie.
Yeah, because you didn't
stop. They could have lost like 6-5, and they're gonna blame the goalie. They'll lose 1-0. They blame the goalie. I mean, it's one of those things.
Simple, yeah. Stop
Why do you got those pads? Fucking use them.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, stop the puck. That's your job.
That trade, I agree with Ryan. It's not – I mean, to be honest with you, Pittsburgh got the better of the deal. I mean, they got a pick, a second-round pick. So, I mean, it's I mean, yeah, second-round pick. So it's – unless there's something else coming down the pike, I've actually heard a couple different rumors with them, but – right now, Edmonton, I don't know. I agree with Ryan. Bowman is just spinning his wheels. I think he's just throwing shit at the dartboard right now, and it's not good.
It won't be ironic if they use that pick on a goalie.
They need to.
The Quinn Hughes situation was kind of odd. I find that whole thing odd. And then when it comes out, the teams that were interested, all these teams said that they were in the mix, and then you finally hear that there was like six teams that were actually legit.
Yeah, boots. I mean, usually the team that gets the best player usually wins out. But if he doesn't stay there, and they get, I mean, I thought they gave quite a good package. I'm like, yeah. I would never want to trade like my best guy for a bunch of other stuff. But Rossi's good. I mean, he's a top two center in the league. Yeah, he's supposed to be really good. I mean, he hasn't really kind of showed it yet. But it's only his first season. The other kid they got, Ogren, he was a first-round pick, too, plus the first-round pick that they're going to get next year. So, essentially, you got like four first-round picks for him. So, if you're looking to retool or rebuild, that's a kind of a quick way to do it if you hit on maybe three of the four guys. But if I'm the Canucks, the whole time that this has all been going on, I am not trading him to the Devils to be with his brothers. I'm like, I'm not doing him that solid. It's like, y'all like ruining my franchise because you want to go play with your brothers. Even if they had the best deal, I don't think I would have sent them to the Devils. But now Bill Guerin risked that chance, so he's going to take him on, and it might be a Ratanen situation where they might have to retry to flip him. And I don't know how you're going to make out when you get in that situation, because once everybody knows there's only one team you want to go to, it's not good.
The thing that kills me about, and it happens in all sports, and not that I'm on the pulse of what's happening with the baseball and the football and the basketball, but with the hockey, I mean, 3-4 years back, it was Winnipeg was a problem. Everybody that's there was toxic. And then they kind of like shuffle the deck over there, and then they kind of spread the guys out. Now it's Vancouver. Now there's stuff going on there. They never really say what it is. I mean, who was it that was all hurt a year or two ago? Was it Elias Pettersson that was all but hurt? And then, you know, he was a problem. Now
JT Miller.
And now it's Hughes that's not happy or whatever. I mean, the best thing, like, benefit to me with Tocchet going to the Flyers, but it's just crazy how that works. You get a couple bad apples in the bunch, and all of a sudden it ruins the whole core of the team. When does that ever happen? It happens more now than ever before. And I don't know what it is. Is it do they give these guys too much, or is it a different? Does it come down to a different athlete than before? We talk about how the wrestling's changed and all that stuff. Is it a culture thing, and we're just, you know, kind of we're in our glory days are behind us with the way that we look at sports? Is that what it is? Is it? What do you think?
Yeah, it's all me and not we now.
It's entitlement.
Right.
Yeah.
I think a
what
lot
of it. What am I getting? How can I make the team better? What am I getting?
I think a lot of it might be driven from the Canadian media. They have the passion that they have. It's not to say that's the only thing that's going on up there, because, I mean, they do have access to the other sports, but it's they're into it at a different level than everybody else. And the media up there is like is a New York style big hub media, and the fans are in on everything, and it's I don't know, I think these guys would just rather play elsewhere where you can kind of just be a regular guy when you're away from the rink, and not everybody can thrive with that kind of pressure on them.
Tom, they all play in Dallas. No one knows them.
You, Tom, you want to add at all to that theory on the media being a problem versus the new kind of athlete?
Absolutely. It's like you see certain players aren't built for these big big name, big franchise, big city, big media things. Like, you see players crumble under the pressure, and especially in like baseball. So it's like Ryan says, you can go to any place in the middle of the country here and just play your game, get paid, and not have the pressure on you that you do up there. I just can't imagine the pressure of like that Edmonton felt being in the finals. It's been so long that since a Canadian team's won the cup, and you hear that every year that a Canadian team makes the cup, and it's just, there's a lot of pressure. I mean, the Red Sox players felt it for a while. They don't feel it any so much anymore, but it's something that I guess you have to be built differently.
That, if you remember, I know it hasn't been that long ago, but at the time when Calgary made that trade to get Huberdeau and let Tkachuk go to Florida, everybody was saying that Calgary got the better end of that deal. And it looks like they did not.
Using my GI Bill taught me I can do anything. And seeing me graduate taught my daughter she can too. VA benefits cover tuition, housing, and supplies. Get what you earned. Visit choose.va.gov.
Not all veterans are eligible for the type or amount of benefits mentioned here.
They did not. Yeah. Looking back on it, hindsight, because, you know, a lot of people forget that first Stanley Cup that Vegas won, the Panthers were in that final. So they've gone to three straight Stanley Cups and won two. So imagine if they had won that one, squeaked it out, but you come to find out Tkachuk was banged up after that and all that stuff. But if they had found a way to win that, they would have been three Stanley Cups deep in a row. And that's unheard of.
Yeah. Well, you mentioned the Winnipeg thing. Toronto's always good. I mean, they might have the worst media situation of all the teams.
Montreal.
You've had it in Montreal in the past. When Montreal was good, things started going bad. It would all of a sudden, it's like, oh, the captain doesn't speak French. They're always looking for something to nitpick, whether it's, you know, the Patrick Roy situation, even Jocelyn Thibault. No, not, well, Jocelyn Thibault, and I meant the, what's his name?
Jose Theodore.
Theodore. Exactly. Yep. He had his little situations there. So there, it's you, if you're not playing up to a high standards, like you can't even just be just middle, you know, just do your job. You got to really overachieve to really not fall under any kind of scrutiny.
Oh, like your workplace.
Ooh, fun.
anything to add to the Tom Shitty Picks portion of this podcast? Are we breaking into the realm of Rod Serling? Tom, want to add anything before we move on?
Nope, I'm good.
Bradford, you ready? All right, Thomas.
All right. This episode of the 1973 podcast is brought to you by RC Custom Cards. Do you collect cards? Want something truly unique in your hands? RC Custom Cards turns ordinary cards into extraordinary. Custom designed trading cards created just for you. Whether you're celebrating a milestone, honoring a team or friend, or building a one-of-a-kind collection, RC Custom Cards crafts premium personalized cards built to impress. Great quality, great design, and 100% custom. Made for collectors, fans, and anyone who wants something special. Ready to elevate your collection? Head to rccustomcards.com and see what you can create. Tell them you heard it on the 1973 podcast.
Ratchet. Yeah, RC Custom Cards. I had one made for Lucas, and he does a great job. Like, it looks like something that I bought out of, you know, a pack of Tops or something, trading cards. So real good stuff, real good quality work. So I want to talk about it's kind of been brought up again. I think we've talked about it a little bit on this podcast, but we didn't go that in depth with it. Is that Garth Brooks is a serial killer? Now, this originally gained a lot of traction with the comedian Tom Segura, was podcasting about it. He's the one who initially connected the dots. So there are, since the 90s through the 2010s, there are 120 missing persons and 90 like unidentified bodies that coincide and line up with all of Garth Brooks' tour dates. Like, if he came to town, put on a concert, people filed missing persons or reported dead bodies and stuff. So much so that, you know, when you cross-reference his dates with these missing persons and these unidentified deaths, like, there's a clear trend that it vibes with Garth Brooks's tour dates, right? So it's gained a lot of traction because in recent, I don't know, I would say like the last couple of months, a true crime podcaster by the name of Matt Cox has kind of made it his thing, where this went from like just Tom Segura, because, you know, when Tom did it, all of Tom's fans went to Garth Brooks' Instagram and started flooding the comments by the thousands of, where are the bodies, Garth? Give my grandma back, Garth. You know, where'd you bury Granny, and so on, to the point that Garth had to make a lot of his comments like private. He wouldn't let people post no more. He went after Tom in court. But now this true crime podcaster, he's doing like the research for us, you know, and he's like, yeah, this shit lines up. And then he even points out that some years ago, his first Facebook post, he's something about an alter ego that, oh no, about Chris Gaines. Y'all remember when Garth Brooks turned into Chris Gaines? So they're saying that's his alter ego, that he made a whole album about an Australian rock star with a made up backstory, and it flopped. It sucked. It was so terrible. Nobody can understand why he did it. So people are starting to say like he has like multiple personality disorder, split personality, like he's a sociopath, this and that. He jokingly admitted in a 1989 interview that he'd rather kill somebody, that it would be fun. I don't know of a whole lot of musicians or movie stars that equate killing, murdering somebody to fun versus like doing something for his craft or his, you know, where his job is. Some people theorize that like it's part of a blood ritual so that like he stays famous and stuff like that. But anyway, I think this one's like really fun, really interesting. Oh, and when I Googled this, because I was like, man, I just want to see like, because I always try to find like what's the most recent, you know, story about it. Who said the most recent, you know, research or YouTube or whatever. So this YouTube story came out, and it's like a conspiracy down the rabbit hole type of YouTube channel. And it's a hooded figure, you know, and he's talking about Garth and the murders, and he's basically regurgitates all the stats I just gave you. But somewhere in there, like 5 minutes in, he starts basically lobbying for Garth being innocent. And so now people are like, hold up, is Garth the one like behind the masked figure? Like, is he the one doing this for himself, or did he like pay somebody to do this? Because like, if you watch down the rabbit hole type conspiracy theory podcasts or YouTubes, right, very rarely does somebody stray from what the actual conspiracy is and starts, you know, advocating for somebody's innocence or whatever, right? They just kind of like present the conspiracy and like that's it. But so this one, when you Google Garth Brooks serial killer on YouTube, it's like one of the first hits. It dropped like 3 weeks ago, so that's adding fuel to the fire. I think it's pretty convincing. I think we might have something here. So I don't know if it's necessarily Garth Brooks, but a guy that big and that famous has got to have a crew. It could be somebody on his crew. That's probably what is more likely. And there is a conspiracy about semi-truck drivers in the like 80s and 90s being like a chain of serial killers, because all these deaths kind of run along our highway systems of unexplained disappearances and murders, and that like the most obvious culprit would be like truck drivers and whatnot. So I mean, it's kind of lines up with that. So I don't know. Thoughts?
All right, Professor, what do you think?
Adds to my thing that I always say, there's nothing redeeming about country music.
Good rebuttal. I like that.
It's interesting. I'll have to look into it because, I mean, a lot of what Brad said, there's a lot of smoking guns there. I mean,
Shaggy, thoughts?
Yeah, I'd say I agree. I think it could be like a roadie. I mean, it's crazy. Like, that many coincidences. Like, it's got to be something going on.
I got to add to this one, Brad. This is the first time I'm hearing of this, and I'm kind of shocked that I had never heard of this one before, especially if it's been going on for quite a while.
Yeah, it's a big one.
Wait, no, I knew conspiracy theory that you didn't?
No, out of the subjects that we've talked about on the show, this is the first one that I'm like taken aback by, that I'm like, I'm surprised. I probably listened to a lot of the stuff that you listen to, Brad, and I'm surprised it didn't come across one of my feeds on my you know, Twitterverse or Phantom. What do you think of Garth Brooks' roadie?
Yeah, no, I've actually heard of the story too. Now that the alter ego, isn't he like a goth character? Like doesn't he change his what he looks like?
Not goth, more like emo. He like
got a
haircut, does the
got bangs,
eyeliner, black eyeliner, and like everything.
I think he might have a little stroke of weirdo in him. He might.
Yeah,
I think he did it.
Chris Gaines thing was weird.
that was weird.
No, when you say he did it, are you saying the Chris Gaines character or the actual Garth Brooks? Who are you outing?
Well, they are the same.
They're the same person.
But did he have the emo look when he did it, or did he have
100%.
The... Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right, I just checking. Just want to, you know, allegedly.
Maybe Garth Brooks is the alter ego.
Ooh.
Hey. Chris Gaines is the real version.
Ooh. Maybe there's a third persona, like Dustin Hoffman and Tootsie.
Yeah.
Ooh. Great movie.
Ooh. That could work.
7.9. Must own.
Well, Garth is allegedly being investigated. You know, the old sexual assault allegation came forward. So that's been going on for a couple of years. It's supposed to go into like 2026. So.
Ooh, slippery slope. Kid show.
Yep.
Kid show. Ed?
Happens to the best of them.
Come on now, you got something to add to this.
Oh, of course I do.
You've been a lot of places. You've lived in multiple states.
I have. I mean, things aren't just, circumstances are not just circumstances. Where there's smoke, there's fire. And there's gotta be something that's, if all of these dates and all of the, you know, bodies line up, there's something going on for sure. And, you know, the thing about it is that, you know, I mean, I think that a lot of it is that, you know, there's a lot of different things that could go on a rock tour, you know. So it could be Garth himself. It could be one of his roadies. It could be, you know, one of his fans that follows him around to all those tour dates. You know, you never know. You never know, like, what's in the mind of people. So. I mean, but it way too much circumstantial evidence to believe that it's just a circumstance.
It's mind blowing to me how nowadays this should never be able to get pulled off with the way DNA is now, and everybody's got security cameras everywhere and everything and phones, and to pull this off nowadays, it's not like, you know, the 70s type serial killer story where they, you know, they could move across the country, and if they didn't leave a certain paper trail, they'd never get caught. Now it's one of those things where they can go back into old cold case files and scrape an old pair of underwear and find the person that did it. I don't know. I don't understand how, with the way DNA is set up, is it one of those things that's a bigger thing when they can't figure out who did it? Is there more important players involved that cover up that kind of thing? From being, I mean, that's a conspiracy in a conspiracy, right? But it just, I don't think that there should be an age that we live in where everything's so social media driven and everybody's got a phone. Look, I'm going to record this fight. Or, oh, I got this car accident. Or, oh, look at these firefighters. Or, oh, these cops aren't doing what they're supposed to be doing. How somebody can pull off a string of those certain things is beyond me nowadays. It just... somebody must have seen something, or somebody must have something on a phone, or somebody knows a friend that was involved with it or went missing. Nobody should go missing anymore. There's cameras all over the place. People have dash cams. Everybody's got a phone. Track a phone. Phone a friend. Get your web TV. Do whatever you got to do to figure this stuff out these days. Speaking of web TV, Brad, you got anything to add to that?
Bro, I'm just going through his Instagram right now, and like every post, the comments have been turned off.
Because of this podcast?
Allegedly. We contribute to that in Tom Segura's fan base. But I'm like, if you're innocent, and here's the other thing. If you're innocent, let the trolls troll, because like it just brings more visibility to your Instagram and your social media and to your concerts. Like, people were going to his concerts just to hold up signs that said, where are the bodies? Like, whether it's a real fan or one of Tom Segura's fans or somebody's whose granny went missing on one of your tour dates, like, if they're buying tickets, like, you know, it's just like wrestling. Any kind of heat is good heat. It gets fans in there. So, but I just think it's weird that, like, instead of running with the joke, he's, like, trying to shut it down. That's weird.
I blame Trisha Yearwood.
Yeah, Trisha, it's her fault. True. That's it, though. Funny conspiracy.
Conspiracy of the week brought to you by RC Custom Cards with your boy Bradford. Tinfoil hat, everybody. Speaking of that, let's wrap this weekly episodic adventure up. What do you got there, Edwin?
Oh, I'm gonna ask the gentleman and yourself, not being a college football fan, to kind of, all right, who's gonna win the national championship? Ooh. I'm going to go with that.
Ohio State,
Thomas. Okay.
Anybody else want to add?
I'll go Georgia.
Ole Miss.
Holy shit.
I'd like to see Indiana just for shits and giggles, but I know it ain't going to happen.
All right. Well, but who?
Can I throw a dot at the board, Ed?
Sure. Yes. Yes.
I'm just going to.
Tulane.
James Madison.
He's not in it, Andy.
Can I go Roll Tide on this one?
Yes, you can.
All right, I'll just do that. Well, all right, that Roll Tide. Okay. That can be my pick.
All right, that's your pick. Okay.
Shaggy, what a shout out.
Yeah, I'd like to give a shout out to my daughter, Sienna. Had a busy week. She had a great job in her play at school. And then this weekend, had a great job at her dance recital for the holiday season. Proud of her. She did a great job.
Phantom, can I add to the group?
Want a shout out? Well wishes to my boy Connor Bedard. I was enjoying watching Blackhawks finally after a 5-year run of crapola, and it looks like the Doc Days are back. I think he's going to be out for a while.
Thomas, this is the worst AA meeting of all time. Care to add to the group?
Well, this week will be my ninth anniversary with my wife, so she's not going to see this, but maybe it'll get me points if somebody tells her I said this. Happy anniversary.
Were we present for that?
Two of you were.
Okay, great. I don't want to be left out. Bradford, what do you got this week?
We're somewhat of a wrestling podcast, and we talk about a lot of different subjects, so I think it would be remiss if we do not at least one of us say, end of an era, John Cena, whether you liked him or not, whether you liked the final year run, whether you liked the retirement match or not, it's the end of an era. So shout out to John Cena. That's it.
All right. So who can follow that? So for you're on 1973 podcast from your boys, the worst CT group of all time. We're out this week.